2 Kings chapter 21 and verse number 19. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. Verse 20. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. And he walked in all the way that his father walked in, and served the idols that his father served, and worshipped them. And he forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of the Lord. Now drop down to chapter 22 and look at verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Can you imagine that? Being 8 years old and now you're king. Wow. Cool, huh, guys? Be 8 years old and now you're the king of the world? Well, he wasn't the king of the world, but he was king. And notice the rest of the verse. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Next verse. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Father, I do thank you this morning for the power of your word, and may it minister to our hearts. I realize that this message has a special emphasis for our men, but may the ladies that listen to this message as well realize the importance of praying for the men of our church, that they would be men of honor and faith and love, that they would realize that the men would realize that this morning their children are following them, and what great influence that they have. So challenge our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a father's footsteps. Most fathers here this morning have probably experienced, when you were raising your children, how they like to walk in your shoes as toddlers. Remember that? How they would look up to you, and they would have those big shoes on, and they would cry out, "Look at me, Daddy." And it's really a touching moment, if you would. But you take that then as they continue to mature, as they continue to grow, they continue then to follow in our footsteps. The question then becomes, where are your footsteps leading them? I realize I'm speaking to some men here this morning. You have already gone through the process of having the children, raising them, and they're now adult children. I get that, but you still have influence. Even though they may not be under your roof, you still have a realm of influence in their life. And so where are your footsteps leading your children? I want you to notice in this passage that I have read this morning here in 2 Kings chapter 21, and then also in chapter 22, we see two different sons who had two different fathers, but yet their fathers each had influence upon them. We see that a father's footsteps are going to be followed. Your footsteps, dads, are being followed whether you believe so or not. Regardless of whether they're just toddler age or they're teenagers or even adult children, your children are following your footsteps. And we find in this passage that Amon had a father by the name of Manasseh. His father was an evil man. He had walked in the way of idolatry. He had turned the hearts of people away from God. And so when his son Amon then grew up and became in the position of king, the Bible says that he walked in the way of his father Manasseh, that he then as well was an idolater. His heart was not in tune with God. But who laid the foundation for that kind of heart for Amon? It was his father, Manasseh. And so we find that you can be a father that leads your children away from God. I don't think there's a man here this morning that would say, "Yep, that's my job, that's my role, that's my desire is to lead my children away from God." But I wanted to pinpoint this for you this morning because this was a son who had a father who the son had followed his dad's footsteps and it had led him away from God. But we come to chapter 22 and we see that Josiah now comes to the throne at the age of 8. And he then walked in the way of David his father. Well, if you do more study, you will learn that David actually was Josiah's great-grandfather. And so this is how far back this goes in the life line of Josiah. But he had an heritage that led him toward God. He had a heritage that said, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we find that he had a heart that was toward God because he had turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And so Josiah had, again, a great heritage, a father and a grandfather in particularly to look up to, and he had walked in the way of his father David, the Bible says. Now, what kind of father would you want? Of these two, I know who I would want. I would want particularly a grandfather that is living out Christ before me and living out the Lord before me and setting the way before me so that I can follow in the footsteps of godliness. That's the kind I would definitely would not want Manasseh for a father. I had the opportunity yesterday to speak at a men's breakfast in Fowlerville. And while there, they were questioning me about my father and where I was from. And I know many of you have heard this testimony. But I was born in Long Island, New York. I don't know if my biological father is alive or dead. But what I do know is this, is how he had treated my mother. He abused her. He was not kind to her. So poorly did he treat her that my mother to this day won't even talk about it. There have been a couple of times where she has given me, I was christened as a baby, and then he had some association with the mob. Believe it or not, my last name used to be Napolitano. And so who knows where I could be today if I had still been in that kind of a situation. God had a different kind of plan. I didn't have to follow in my father's footsteps along that way. But the dad that God brought into my life at the age of 3 had set a great example for me. Perfect? No, there are no perfect fathers, but he had a heart toward God. And he led me in the way that I should go. And praise God, to this day, I have not departed from it because I had an upbringing that said that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Josiah, if you would, had that kind of a father, and he was able to say in his footsteps, I will follow. But notice then this, that men ought to be a father that will walk with honor, faith, and love. Let's touch on each one of those. A father that walks with honor. What does that speak of? It's a father that walks with integrity. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 7 says this, remember them that have the rule over you whose faith follow. Now, yes, in the context of that passage, it is dealing with the pastors of the church and how they have the, quote, rule over you and you are to follow their faith. But reality is that a father has rule over his own home. And he is to set such an example before his children that his children would say, that's the kind of faith I want to follow. My dad's relationship with God is so real that I want to have that in my own life. And here we find in this context that it says that we are to follow their faith. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. That means to be an imitator. I read of a father and a son that had arrived in a small western town looking for an uncle whom they had never seen. Suddenly, the father, pointing across the square to a man who was walking away from them, exclaimed, "There goes my uncle." His son asked, "How do you know when you have not seen him before?" To which the father said, "Son, I know him because he walks exactly like my father." And may people know, may our children know who God is, because we know God. You see, men, one of the greatest things that could be said of us as fathers is that my dad knows God. My dad may know a lot of other people, but my dad knows God. And so be a man of integrity, be a man of honor, one that your children can look up to and say, "I respect that man that God has put into my life." Now, I don't know about you, I didn't always like the rules that were put down in my household. You have to be in at a certain time. Come on, really? All my other friends don't have to be in at a certain time. I know, but I'm not your dad's friend, but I am. I'm not your friend's dad, excuse me, but I am your dad, and if I tell you to be in at this time, be in. Oh, come on. Slack up on that a little bit. Well, he finally did when I got a little bit older. But there were other rules and so forth that, I'm thinking. But you know, when I really began to appreciate, hang on to this, young people, when I really began to appreciate my parents was when I got out on my own. And I began to understand why they said what they did. I began to understand, you know, how teenagers can be. Yeah, hey, I got this. I can kind of blow this off. Oh, man, I just can't wait till I get 18. I'm out of the house, and man, I'm going to do it my way. I'm sure we've all had those kind of thoughts from somewhere along the line when we were younger. But it isn't amazing the influence that our parents had and even really have upon our life. And I think about my own father and how in his business dealings and so forth, I saw a man with honor. I saw a man with integrity. But a father also ought to be a man that walks with strong faith in God. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9, "Be strong and of a good courage." Can you imagine being the son, or that fact even the daughter, of King David? You're born into David's family. And David begins to tell you some stories about God, true stories. And he said, "You know, one day, young people, I was out being a shepherd boy, and I came across a bear, and I came across a lion, and yeah, I was able to kill them." Wow. Really, Dad? Cool. But let me tell you one that really tops them all. One day I'd gone to the battlefield to take my brothers some cheese and crackers, if you would, and I saw them running away from the giant. This guy was 9 feet tall plus. And every day he would come out and he would just taunt the children of Israel and bring me somebody that I can fight against. And I saw them running away. He says, "But I, in the power of the Lord, went with 5 stones in my slingshot, and I just swung that slingshot around, and boom, the rock sailed and hit him right in the head, and boom, he went down. I took his sword and chopped his head off." But those kids would be able to know, because David put this to it. He says, "The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear and out of the paw of the lion, and the Lord delivered that giant into my hands that day." It was the Lord, in essence, that brought that big man down. It was the Lord, in essence, that enabled me to chop his head off and carry it around on a platter. It was the Lord that did that. And don't you think that his faith in God would then influence his children's lives? I've got to believe that it did. And you see, Dad, you and I need not only be men of honor, We need to be men with a strong faith in God. But then here's a third thing, that we need to be a father that walks in love, or walks with love. The Bible says in Psalm 103, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth us. As a father pitieth, that is a word that means he shows compassion, he shows love toward them. I don't know how you were brought up, but I didn't hear it a lot, but I heard it enough. But having a father say these words, son, I love you. To this day, when he'll send me a card or me and my wife a card, he will always sign it with love, Dad. And I'm thankful again, because when I think about where I could have been with my biological father, and to think about how he was raised and so forth, I'm just so thankful that I had a dad that wasn't afraid to tell me, son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. And I think about how important love is, how we can express love. One, we can express love by spending time with them. I saw some pictures that Laura shared with me yesterday. TJ and his dad, it looked like was helping him, roast a pig. And very interesting pictures. But what caught my eye was not the pig who gave his life. 200 and some pounds, right? Big one. But what caught my eye was a couple of pictures that showed TJ and Tracy together, working together. Now, I'm telling you, as busy as Tracy and Laura are, they still realize the value of family. That, hey, I got time. Even though I'm busy, I can take some time and help you with this. You know, really, our kids don't really, quote, it may seem like they want a lot, but I think one of the things that they want the most from us, not just as dads, but as moms, is that they want our time. They want us to spend time with them. Enjoy doing that. I enjoyed with my girls spending time with them. During the winter months, we would go to the Elms Park Hill. You know where that's at? And boy, they know where it's at very well. That was our ski hill, if you would. We would go over there and go sledding a lot. And then before or after, we always stopped at McDonald's. And I'm not talking about an hour. I would spend 2 or 3 hours with them doing that. And we had some great bonding time with that. Another thing that I did with all three of them when they were growing up, when they got into close to their teen years, they got involved in the Swartz Creek Community Softball League. And initially they liked me coming to their games. And then I became the third base coach. And you know, I'd hear things like, Dad, just lighten up. It's just a game. Oh, no. This isn't just a game. You got to get up there and you got to hit that ball, and this is how you got to pitch, and this is how you've got to catch. I'll never forget my daughter, Mindy. She was the catcher for her team when she got of age to play. And I don't know why, but she always had a tendency that when the ball was coming in, she'd kind of step into it. You know, she'd be crouched down as the catcher, but she'd kind of, I had to tell her repeatedly, you're going to get your head clocked by the bat if you keep doing that. And she never did. But, you know, so I was one, I was just one of those competitive dads. It was hard for me just to sit on the sidelines and hold my hands and, yeah, oh, well, nice game, girls. No, I was into it. But along the way, they as well got into it. But here was the beauty of that. That when they were those ages, they were able to form some relationships, some friendships with those girls on those teams. And they would then invite them to church, vacation Bible school. They would invite them to other youth events and so forth along the way because they had developed those relationships with those girls. But I'm telling you, it was just so, so exciting to just spend time with them, not just telling them that I loved them, but showing them that I love them. Another way that a father can show his kids love is by encouraging them, giving them encouraging words. They need that. They go into schools where they don't get that. In fact, they have maybe some friends that they know who don't have a dad, or if they do, some of them don't have a dad that treats them right and so forth. And so you have a great opportunity to come alongside them and encourage them with your words. Writing them a time, maybe a little encouraging text and say, hey, just want you to know I'm praying for you and I'm thinking of you. Dads can tell their kids and show them they love them by just simply telling them, but also by teaching them. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to see a particular passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Here we find in this passage where he says, begin at verse number 3 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 3. The Bible says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now catch this next verse. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Here we find the great challenge that while God had given his commands, if you would, to the children of Israel, he is saying to them, I want you then as a father, I want you to take that very word and I want you to teach it to your children. He says, I want you to teach them the Word of God diligently. You say, well, preacher, I thought that's what the church's job was. No, I'm not with your kids every day. You are. And you have a great responsibility to take God's precious Word as a father and teach it to them diligently. One of the examples that I had of my father, and it has stuck to me this day, is to see when I would get up. I'm still an early riser, but when I would get up, my dad was already up, and I would see him in the living room, and there he was with an open Bible just reading the Word of God. And that was a powerful example to me that I also can get in and read the Word of God. And so my dad gave me the challenge, son, start reading the Word of God. Get up 15 minutes before you normally do and begin to read the Word of God. And that, again, has been a practice that has been established in my life, that I read the Word of God, but where did it start for me? By my dad forcing me? No, he didn't say, son, you have to do this. But my dad set the example for me, and he had that open Bible. There are other times I would see him with his arms on his legs, and he was just praying to the Lord. And so I saw my dad read the Word. I saw my dad pray. I saw my dad live this out. And I'm so thankful that where I am today is due to his influence in my life. And he had taught me early. Now, mind you, he wasn't a man that was around a lot in the early stages of my life, and that was because of his work. There would be times he'd be gone 6 weeks at a time. And so then, guess who, if you would, picked up the slack? You got it, my mom. But you know what I saw in my mom? The same thing that my dad was doing. But my mom took a little bit step further. Before we could get on the school bus, she would gather us kids around, and she would read something from the Word of God and pray with us. It wasn't long, but just reading something from the Bible and saying, kids, I'm praying for you. But mom setting that kind of example. But I'm so thankful, again, that my dad had taught me the Word of God. I called him last night and talked to him for a good hour. And in that conversation, And it's rare that we never talk about the Bible, but we'll talk about something that we have been reading, something maybe that he's been studying or I have been studying, and we'll bounce that off of each other. Again, my dad's not a preacher. He's not a pastor, never has been. But it's amazing how much of the Word of God he knows. But my heritage goes back a little bit further than my dad. He had a mom who loved to listen to an old-time preacher who is now with the Lord by the name of Oliver B. Green. Any of you ever heard of that name? Oliver B. Green. He had a big gravelly voice and so forth. And I have my grandmother's commentaries of Oliver B. Green. But my grandmother was a faithful Sunday school teacher. She took her children to church because she had, up until the last 3 weeks of his life, she lived with an unsaved husband all of those years. And then he came down with cancer, and 3 weeks later he was dead. But in those 3 weeks, my dad was able to lead his dad to Christ. But I'm mindful of, again, of my heritage and how that I had some individuals in my heritage who realized the importance of the Word of God, the importance of church. And I'm so thankful for that. And I would say to us as dads that we need to love teaching them. Now, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do this, dads. You don't. I look back at my father-in-law, who will be 94 next month, just to let you know. 94. How many of you want to live to be till you're 94? Oh, one, two, okay. But anyway, he'll be 94 in July. But you know, for many, many years, he had a practice in his home that before they would retire at night, he would read the Bible passage from Our Daily Bread. And then he would read the little story in the Daily Bread, and then he would pray. Now, I tell you, that's part of my wife's heritage, but my father-in-law has never been to Bible college. He worked with his hands all of his life, retired from Auker Homes, and he was on demand a lot. They just expected a lot out of him. And yet he just faithfully worked there. That wasn't his only job, but that was one of his main jobs. He retired from there. But again, any time that I would go into his home, this is what I would see, is that he would just get together. And when his wife was alive, guess what they still did when they moved in with us? They still would gather together as husband and wife, and they would read the Daily Bread. They would read the Word of God. And it didn't take all that long, and it wasn't the matter of how long or short it was. It was just the fact that they did it. And may I say, dads, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, but your kids are walking in your steps. Now I want to ask you, dads, from your life, how much of God do your kids know? Because you have purposely taken on that as a challenge, that I want my kids to know God more than anything else they know in life. That's a tall order, I know. But enjoy doing it. Love teaching them. Now, stay with me. If you will be a dad that walks with honor, faith, and love, here's the reality. You will lead your children down the right paths. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And you can see that two ways, as I stated at the outset of the message. Ammon had an evil father who did not walk toward God, and guess what? When Ammon was of age, he went away from God. But Josiah had a heritage that said, let's walk toward God, let's live for God. And Josiah then went that way. And so as we have influence, our children are following us, and our steps will lead them, if we will be men of honor, faith, and love, that our steps will lead them down the right path. I think of in 3 John, in verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I don't know about you. That's what I want to see from my children. That they walk in truth. That they live for God. And all glory goes to God. I stand before you this morning and say, that is where my daughters and their families are today. They love the Lord. They're serving the Lord. I praise God for that. It's not because Teresa and I were some great parents. Maybe in their eyes we were. But we felt many times like we were just failing. You ever been there as parents? You're like, man, I don't know if I'm ever getting through. I know what that's like. But when you get on the other end of this and you see them, particularly when they begin to get married and they have their own families, and you see them in churches where God leads them to go to, and they're faithful there and they're living for God, all you can say is all glory to God for that. That God brought this about. It wasn't because, again, we were genius parents, but yet God led us along. And I'm thankful today. I'm so thankful. Just this morning, I prayed for all of my grandsons that God, one, would save them, and he has with Ross. But then he would save them, but then also that possibly God would call some of them to be preachers of the Word of God. But whether he does or doesn't, here's what I hope that each of my grandchildren do, is that they will not only get saved, but then that they will just live for the Lord. Whatever profession that God leads them into, but that they would serve God. And I tell you, then, we think about fathers, but then you think about grandfathers. Grandfathers, I know we'll joke sometimes, boy, it's good to have the grandkids come over, then leave. Huh? You with me? Well, I love having my grandkids around. I do. But it's also fun to be around them and see them already developing some desires. My little granddaughter, man, it's amazing how quick she catches on to Christian songs. I mean, it's amazing. She's only 4 years old. She starts school in September, but man, she just loves it. And tomorrow she starts Vacation Bible School. She's just all pump and excited about that, just at 4 years of age. But here's what I hope happens when she's 14 years of age, that she still wants to sing the Christian music, that she still wants to be in church, that she still wants to be in youth group, that she still wants to just love God and serve him with her life. And so I trust, fathers, that we will realize that if we will be the kind of men that God would have us to be, that we can lead our children down the right path. I read an interesting article this week, and I want you to listen to just a paragraph of it, but the article was this. It's entitled this: Are Fathers Leading Their Children to Leave the Church? Well, that caught my eye right away. Are fathers leading their children to leave the church? Here's the paragraph. What am I training my children to not depart from? What if by replacing regular church attendance and involvement with the body of Christ with sports and other activities, you are instilling in them something that when they are old they will not depart from? What if one reason why youth are leaving the church at rapid rates is that we have been preparing them to do so for the most of their young lives? What if we as fathers have inadvertently caused our children to love something more than Christ and his mission? That last question really tugged at my heart. Because I want my children, at the end of the day, no matter what they do with their life, that they would love Christ above all. That they would love him supremely. I trust that, Lord willing, God has enabled me to have that kind of impact upon their life. And that's what I want for you as fathers, that you would train your children and cause them to love the Lord and his mission more than anything else. in life. So, fathers, today, your footsteps. Where are you leading your kids? Let me close with this. I mentioned Josiah in the text. I won't have you turn there, but if you want an interesting read about his life, read 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Remember now, the Bible says at the age of 8, he became king. The Bible then says at the age of 16, he began to seek after God. At the age of 20, being king now, he led God's people to repent from idolatry. Then, later, he led God's people to turn back to God. And then he led the people to the Word of God. How is all that possible? Listen carefully. Because he had a grandfather in the name of David who was a man after God's own heart, who knew what it was to seek after God. He had a great heritage, and he was able to follow in their footsteps. I trust that your kids will follow in your footsteps that will lead them toward God. Let's pray together. Now, Father, this morning, what a great challenge for us as men to be men of honor, faith, and love, that we would be men that are leading our children down the right path, that we are leading our children to love you more than anything else in life. Doesn't mean that they will become a preacher or a missionary, but that they would be willing to do that if you called them to do it. And so, Father, how I pray that we, as fathers in particular, that we would be men that would walk with you daily, that we will live out godliness before our wife and before our children, and that those of us who have already raised our children and they're out on their own, may our children still see God in us. May they hear of godliness from us. And those here in this congregation this morning that are in the process of raising their children, help them to be godly men. Help them to be men that love you supremely. Help them to be men of prayer. Help them to realize this morning that their footsteps are being followed, whether they realize it or not. And so that really is a challenge, because you have told us that no man lives unto himself, no man dies unto himself. We all have influence. Every woman in here has influence. Every man in here has influence. And so help us this morning to have the right kind of influence, pointing our family toward you. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. We're not going to get help from the world, not the right kind of help, but we sure can get it from your word. So help us, strengthen us, and help us to follow after you. In Jesus' name. Now their heads bowed. Would there be some here this morning who would say, Pastor, I realize that my footsteps are being followed, and I want my footsteps to lead my family toward God. And Pastor, this morning I ask that you would remember me in prayer, that I will walk with God daily and that I will be a man of honor, faith, and love, but I will just be a man that will lead my family toward God. If that's your desire this morning and the need in your life, would you raise your hand where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Are there others this morning while we wait? Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? You see, grandfathers, even we still have influence. Those grandkids are watching us, but our kids that we raised are still watching us. Do they see God in you? Anybody else, while we wait, say, Pastor, remember me in prayer this morning, that I'll be that kind of man that God would have me to be, a man of godliness and honor and faith and love. Anybody else, while we wait? I wonder this morning, there'd be someone here and say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know. If that's you, would you raise your hand wherever you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, you have seen the many hands and the hearts of these men in particular that have raised their hands. And I would ask that you would strengthen them and give them victory this week. Help them to be men that will walk with you daily, that they would be men that would spend time with you daily in the Word and in prayer. And help them to strongly influence their families toward godliness. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together with our heads bowed as Sister Tina begins to play through an invitational hymn. You come this morning as God has worked in your heart. Won't you respond to Him today? Won't you come? You're not saved. Won't you come? Let us help you. Maybe as a father, you just want to come and dedicate your life afresh and anew. Maybe you want to just come with your wife and just pray together and say, God bless our home. God use us. Won't you step out? Won't you do that today? You're the potter. I'm the clay. Have your way, Lord. Amen. Amen.